Good evening. So I wanted to speak as we set off the beginning of Bein HaMitzarim, and we're building up to prepare ourselves to sensitize the Tel Zechubin Beis HaMikdash. I wanted to do two things. First of all, appreciate a little bit about Churban Bayis Sheni, which is what we're right now enduring, and specifically with a focus on understanding a little bit of an insight into Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, I want to go through a little bit of the Maharal's understandings of the sugya of Bar Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. The Gemara in Yuma asks, what's the difference? Why was the first base of Mikdash destroyed? The second base of Mikdash destroyed? And the Gemara in Yuma says, Mikdash Rishon Pnei Macharev, because of the three Yaharik Val Yavar, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Damim. Aval Mikdash Sheni, Bnei Yisrael were learning Torah, Gemilas Chasadim, Mitzvos. So why was the second base of Mikdash destroyed? And of course, you know, Mipnesh concludes the Gemara because of Sinas Chinam. L'lamedcha concludes the Gemara, L'lamedcha, Sheshkula Sinas Chinam, Keneged Shlosha Averos, Sinas Chinam is on par, even though that's not what we think. You think of a from religious Jew, you think of their practice in Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. You don't think of their Bein Adam L'Chavero necessarily. Chazal say that's not the case. Chazal equate Sinas Chinam with those big three. Now, we're going to talk about the second Beis HaMikdash primarily this evening. And if you open up the Gemara in Gittin, Dafnan Hey, one of the Gemaras that you're allowed to learn, of course, on Tisha B'Av itself, the Gemara talks about Churban HaBayis, and it divides Churban HaBayis into three elements. You've all seen this Gemara. You might not have noticed there are three independent elements that are outlined. Akamtsa Ubar Kamtsa Charv Yushalayim. We'll talk about that. Atarnagolav Atarnagolta, whatever other story with a rooster and a hen, the story is not important for us. But for that reason, Chorev Turmalka, the city of Turmalka, was destroyed. So you have Yerushalayim's destruction, the destruction of Turmalka. We'll see the significance of that in a moment. And finally, Ashaka Derispek, whatever that is, it's an axle of a wagon, of a chariot. Chorev Beitar, Beitar was destroyed. So there are three parts of Churban Yerushalayim. There's Yerushalayim, which was destroyed. There's Turmalka. The city of Turmalka was destroyed. And finally, the third element of Churban was that Beitar was destroyed, which took a little, you know, it was a long time after Churban Yerushalayim, Churban Beis HaMikdash. But those were the three elements of Churban Yerushalayim. And the Maral, what I'm going to say is primarily from Netzach Yisrael Perakei, the Maral's description of the account of Churban Beis HaMikdash, asks a very simple question. Why do you need a three-part Churban? Why did Hashem set it up that there is first element Yerushalayim, then Turmalka, then Beitar? Why not just, you know, destroy Yerushalayim? Okay, Yerushalayim is destroyed, Beitar is destroyed, Turmalka is destroyed. One fell swoop, they could send in the Roman legions, and the Roman legions had, you know, could have a three-pronged attack and destroy everything all at once. Why does it have to be with these three successive, three different, chronologically different attacks and churbanos? That's the question of the Maral. The Maral sets up an idea, an interesting idea. Maral says that Eretz Yisrael has three aspects. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, says the Maral, has three components to it. Three primary components, three prongs, if you want to say. Number one, which is the most significant, of course, is that there's the Shechina in Eretz Yisrael. Shechina means Hashkacha, means Hashem's, you know, looking out for us. Einei ha'aretz asher einei Hashem alkecha ba mireish shana ad acharisa, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everybody has their own stories when they went to Eretz Yisrael, the Hashkacha that they had and their experiences. And certainly in a time of Gilui, then all the more so, there was a tangible sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha running the show in everything that would happen. You do mitzvahs, all of a sudden it would start raining in your field, you start doing an averos, all of a sudden your field, your tomatoes would start drying out, and that's what life was. And there was able to, not nowadays, but that was the way things were. Obviously, the churban of that component, of that aspect of Hashem's Shechina, Hashras, Hashchina, Hashkacha in our lives, in our, so that was the primary destruction that we lost Hashem's presence and participation in our daily life. That was, of course, the worst destruction. That was the churban of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashras Hashchina. A second aspect of Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael, if you want to call it that, is the people, the multitude of people. There are so many Jews living there. That's a separate point than the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashkiach on the land is the fact that there are a lot of people living there. There's a population, there's a large population of Jews all centered and focused in one location. That's the second aspect of the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And the third aspect, says the Maharal, of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, is the fact that there are cities. Cities that are built up, cities that are developed, cities that are cultivated. Cities itself, that's another aspect of the Yishuv. That's the word of the Maharal, not my word. Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. We see precedent that these are three primary aspects of Eretz Yisrael. The fact that there's Hashgach, the fact that there's a large population, the fact that there are cities built. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu sends the Meraglim, he instructs them to check out a number of points. And if you look carefully at the Psukim, says the Maharal, of what are the Meraglim supposed to inspect when they go check out what's happening in Eretz Yisrael? The first thing, are there a lot of people there? Are there not a lot of people there? If there are a lot of people, it's going to be a strong nation. It's going to be a strong, you know, there are strong nations that will be harder to battle. If they're weak nations, then okay. So there's population that has to be. That was what it is in Eretz Yisrael. The Meraglim had to check. What's the population like? After that, Maharetz Hatova Himra Meharim and Bemachanim and Mivtzarim. The cities that the people are living in, are they built like this? Are they built like that? They have walls around them. They're open-walled cities. What kind of cities are there? That's the other aspect that has to be inspected. The other aspect of the Yishuv. What's the situation? What's the infrastructure? Infrastructure's in the news a lot. What's the infrastructure in Eretz Yisrael like? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu instructed the Meraglim to inspect. Finally, Hatova hi imra. Ma ha'aretz hashmeinahi. Is it a land that gives a lot of fruit? Is there a lot of bracha in the land? That's clearly the hashgacha that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's making it a plentiful, bountiful type of culture, agriculture, and is there a Birchas Hashem in this land? So Maral says, you see from when Moshe sent the Meraglim had to check out these three aspects. What's the population situation? What are the cities built like? And is there Hashgacha in the land? Because those are the three aspects of the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, with that in mind, the Maral says, we can understand why the destruction of the Churban of Yerushalayim, of Beis HaMikdash, of Eretz Yisrael, had to occur in three stages, three different points, and you'll see each one perfectly fit, dovetail perfectly with the three aspects of the Churban that we outlined 5 minutes ago. Right? We said that that the Churban was with three steps. First, Yerushalayim was destroyed, then Turmalka was destroyed, and then Beitar was destroyed. Well, let's look at what these three things were. Yerushalayim is of course the Hashgacha. The Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch, the Ashras HaShchin of HaKadosh Baruch was through Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, via Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim's destruction was the destruction of the Hashgacha, of the Shechina. That was the first, of course, the worst of the three. That was the most meaningful, the most significant loss that we suffered. And that was the first thing that went. After Yerushalayim was destroyed, the next destruction was Turmalka. What do we know about Turmalka? If you open up that Gemara in Daphne and Zion a little bit, two blot later, Turmalka is described in the most unusual, exaggerated, hyperbolic description I've ever seen of any city's description. Does anyone remember what was unique about Turmalka?
Population.
Yes. Let's see what the Gemara says. There were 600,000 cities, Shishim Riba. I'm just paraphrasing the Gemara. Shishim Riba Yoros Hayul Eliyane HaMelech Bahar HaMelech. That's Turmalka. Turmalka is Har HaMelech. Same place. One's Aramaic, one's Hebrew. He had 600,000, Yane HaMelech had 600,000 villages or cities in this location. V'chol Achas Bahem, and every one of these cities independently had, Kayotzi Mitzrayim had 600,000 people. So there'd be like billions and billions and billions of people, and it can't be literal. I can't imagine that it's literal. I'm sure it's figurative. But there, again, the literal words are saying there are billions, if not more than billions, of people in this living on Turmalka, except for three little villages on Turmalka, which had two times the Yotzei Mitzrayim, which had 1.2 million people living in those cities. So, what's the description of Turmalka? the description of Turmalka is conveying an incredible, incredible, incredible population. That's the point of Turmalka. So what did Chazal mean when Chazal said that besides the destruction of Yerushalayim, there's also the destruction of Turmalka? That means we lost that second element of what Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is for us. Besides the Hashgacha, which is of course the most important factor of the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and lost with the destruction of Churban Eretz Yisrael, but also the population was decimated, was lost. So many lives were lost. We lost the Turmalka, which had so many millions of whatever the numbers were. It was the population that was affected. Finally, what was the third aspect of the Churban? Beitar was destroyed. Beitar has another name that the Gemara calls it. You know what it's called? I'm not talking about the football team. Krach Beitar. It's called the city of Beitar because it was a built-up, powerfully fortified city. So what's noticeable and what's special about Beitar is the fact that it was the infrastructure, the city-ness of the city, the city Shabo. That's what was meaningful about Beitar. And therefore, it was called Krach Beitar. We don't have to see Krach Yerushalayim, Krach Tel Aviv, Krach Be'er Sheva. Beitar was called a Krach, it's called a metropolis, called a hub, called a... That, says the Maharal, was the third aspect of the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the destruction of Beitar, which was the destruction of the city model, the metropolis that Beitar was, says the Maharal, that was the third aspect of the Churba, because that's the third aspect of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And now we understand, the Maharal just gave us a fabulous structure to understand the three elements of Churban. First, of the destruction of Yerushalayim, which is the Hashras HaShchina that was lost. Second, the destruction of Turmalka, which happened at a later point. That was the population that was exceeding population of at least this part of Eretz Yisrael. And thirdly, the destruction of Beitar, which represented the infrastructure that Klal Yisrael had built up as represented by Beitar. That was the three stages of Churban Eretz Yisrael in the eyes of the Maharal. Now, let's focus for the rest of for the next few minutes on the first one, which is what we typically do. Most shmuzin about Aseret Bein Hamitzarim, Shavuos Betamuz, Tisha B'Av don't focus on the population, you know, decline and the infrastructure destruction of Eretz Yisrael, even though the Maharal says that's part of the Churban. But we focused on the loss of Hashgacha, on the loss of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashra amongst us. And that happened because of, as the Gemara tells us, Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Let's talk about these two gentlemen, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. One of them wasn't even in the story. We have to know who he was because so we can understand the context of the story. We have to know that there was a person named Kamsa only to know that he was not invited to, that he was supposed to have been invited, but he never made it to the story. But he never made it to the party. Bar Kamsa, Balabayas' enemy, came. Kamsa wasn't even there, so he's sort of an ancillary to the whole story. So the Masha is a very interesting take. So Bar Kamsa gets the invitation, and you can imagine what was going through his mind. Imagine you had a fight with somebody, a really, really, really bad fight. Imagine you had to really think of the person you had the worst fight with in your life. And his son's, he's making a chasa for his son. You open up the invitation, you open up the mail, and it says, you know, Mr. and Mrs., Dr. and Mrs., Rabbi and Mrs., Mr. and Dr., Miss, whatever it is, invited to the marriage of our children, so and so and so and so, the people whose guts you hate and who hate you. Wow. Maybe they're making amends. So, and then there's a personal inscription. We'd like so much to see you, to have you join us in our affair. You know, please reply as soon as possible. So you sit down at the kitchen table and you discuss with your wife, this no good Nick, this idiot, this guy who cheated me, that guy who ruined me, that guy, he's inviting us to his wedding. You want to go? You don't want to go, sweetheart? What do you want to do? And she, after she gives you a, how dare you touch the paper, throw in the garbage, and then, anyway, you pick it out of the garbage after she goes to sleep, and you take out the RSVP card, and you say, I'd be happy to come. That's what must have happened with Bar Kamsa. Okay, so he comes to the wedding. I don't know, what was he thinking? So Masha says, I think I could tell you what maybe he was thinking. Masha says, it's a very unusual line, a very difficult line to understand in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin says the following. Gemara in Erevin says, let me set it up backwards. You make Hashem angry. So what do you do to appease him, kivayachol? You know, what did Cain do when he had to, try to appease? What did anybody, throughout history, what, you make Hashem angry, what do you do to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You take a sheep, a goat, a cow, that's his anyway, and you feed it, kivayachol, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's going to make him happy. So he's angry at you, and... But, you know, when you give him, you I'm scared to say the words, when you bribe him a little bit, you know, with a little bit of, good food, then he's in a good mood, and when Hashem's in a good mood, all of a sudden, come on in, my good buddy. You know, like on Purim sometimes people, they drink a little bit, and when they're in a good mood on Purim, so even the neighbors who are not so welcome in the house the rest of the year, but on Purim, you know, they can make it, they make it into the neighbor's house. When the guy's a little bit, after 3, 4, 5 cups of whatever he drank, all of a sudden, the neighbors who the rest of the year would be scared to step foot in the house, all of a sudden, they start coming in. So the Gemara says the following. Kol hamispata b'yeno, somebody who is seduced by his wine. What that means is, says the Marsha, that means somebody had a few drinks at a party that he's making for himself and his family. After a few drinks, he becomes a little bit more relaxed, and he's willing to make peace. He's a little happier, and he's a little willing to... You know, when you're in a good place, usually people are most antagonistic when they're suffering. When they're in pain, then they're going to lash out at you more. When they're feeling really good about themselves and they're in a really good, happy place, all of a sudden all the fights weren't as terrible, all the arguments weren't as terrible. When I just made a really good deal, the fact that you stole $50,000 from me last year is not the worst thing in the world. I just made $3 million, nish geferlach. So kol hamispata, somebody's willing, somebody has a wine and he's in a good place, this is what the Gemara in Erevin says in the understanding of the Maisha. Such a person who's able to let go when he drinks a cup of wine and he's in a good place, he's making a throwing a party, yesh bo da'as kono. That's just like Hashem. Just like Hashem, t'chsiv rech nichoach l'Hashem, somebody did an aveira, and they bring some, they make Hashem feel good, kivayah, again, these words, I'm scared to say these words, they make Hashem, have some good food, have a good drink, have a nice smell, and Hashem's happy with him, and now, we could come back into Hashem's embrace after Hashem had a drink or two, kivayachol. So the Maisha says, maybe that idea that we see in Erevin is what Bar Kamsa thought. I guess my enemy, the host, the Baal Simcha, is making a Simcha, he's happy. In his happiness, we see this concept that if a person in his happiness is ready to forego some of the anger, that the bitterness that they previously had, I guess my enemy wants to make amends. That's why he's inviting me. He would never invite me stam. He hates me and I hate him. But I guess in his joy and things are good. So now that things are good for him, maybe he's ready to let go a little bit. He's ready to invite me. Bar Kamsa thought, wow, amends are being made. Yes, I'm going to take it. There's the opportunity to make amends. What a wonderful opportunity. And Bar Kamsa is so overjoyed that Baruch Hashem, the host, is now in a good place. He's making a chasana. He's making a big, beautiful meal. All the Rabbanim are going to be there, as we know, as Chazal said. It's a big, expensive meal, as the Gemara indicates. So, yeah, I guess he's in a happy place. He's ready to make amends. Okay, I'm going to go. He was in for a surprise, of course. But that was the logic that was going through Bar Kamsa's mind when he did attend this wedding. That's an idea from the Marsha as to understand why did Bar Kamsa express willingness to attend. But the Maharal points out that it seems important to think about their names, right? The Gemara seems to focus on their names. The whole story is about their names. It's only because the whole story happened only because one was Kamsa, one was Bar Kamsa. That's why they got mixed up. That's why one was invited instead of the other one. And they're described as because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. The Maharal says it has to be there's something about this name Kamsa. What is it about this name Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, that somehow makes it an integral part of the story itself? And the Maharal proves, and I'll show you at least three proofs, that the Lashon of Kamsa is a Lashon of Chiluk, of Pirud, of dispersion, of disintegration, of separateness, of division. First of all, where do you see the word kamtza in Chumash? In a different form, of course. Yes? Kometz, kmitza. What's a kometz? You take from here and you take away. You separate. Right? When I say v'kamatz, v'kumtzo, he took, there's a whole pile of a flour, and you separate the flour. That's what you see in the Lashon HaKra, in the Chumash. And you see in Lashon Chachamim also, a number of places in Chazal where the word, that shoresh, kamatz, also indicates something that represents separation, pirud, division. There's a discussion regarding, let's say there's a Yerusha. The father owed $100,000 and he left over Yerusha to his children. And the kids inherit the money. And now this creditor comes and knocks on one of them's door, one of the doors, and says, You have $100,000, you're yashin from your father, I want my $100,000 back. So what is the son going to say, one of, let's say, four sons, what is he going to say? I understand you want your $100,000, but don't take it from me. Take $25,000 from me and get $25,000 from each of the other three boys. It's not fair, you should take it all from me. That division in the Gemara Bava Basra is called Mikamtzim. Mikamtzim, that same shoresh of divide it up, split it up. You see again, the lashon of kamtza is the lashon of division, of splitting. There's also Mishnah Edius, says the Maharal, where locusts are called kamtza. Why? Because he says something interesting. Why is Arbe called Arbe? My father was in Rehovot. He was a teaching in Rehovot in 1956 in Yeshivat HaDarom. And he told me that it was the middle of an afternoon one day, I don't know what time of the year it was, and all of a sudden it started getting dark. The sky darkened bin rega, in a flash. All of a sudden, it was a beautiful sunny day in Rehovot, and the skies just got dark in the middle of the day, instantly. And all of a sudden, there was this hum throughout the whole city. And nobody knew what it was, and they looked up, you know what it was? It was a locust plague. It was a locust plague. The locusts fly in such masses that they are the same effect that, you know, like when it's a sunny day and a big cloud passes between you and the sun and all of a sudden it gets dark for a minute as the cloud wafts by. That's exactly what happened. The skies turned dark because this cloud of millions and millions and millions of locusts passing through, you know, passing overhead, blocked the sun coming down to that shining down, and it made it dark. Literally made it dark. That's, you know, just trying to imagine what Arba was in Mitzrayim, what is even greater. That was just a little. None of you ever heard of the locust plague in Rehovot of 1957, right? So obviously it wasn't a significant one. Just imagine what Makas Arba was. The Lashon of Arba is, says the Ma'almi, Lashon Harbe. Multitudes. Many. Incredible amounts. You can only have something in incredible amounts if there is the concept of division. Division means I don't have one gigantic thing. To the contrary, I have a billion little things. That's what the word Arba means. That's why Arba is also called in Chazal, in the Targum, the Kometz, Kimtza. Okay, so what do you see? So the Maral made his point. He says, the Lashon of Kamtza, Bar Kamtza, these were the names that were given to these names of these individuals indicate that they were involved in this Machlokas, they were involved in the Sinas Chinam, in the Machlokas of Sinas Chinam that ultimately destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Now, one of the parties was really, like I told you, not involved at all. Kamtza didn't even come to the party. He was just sort of, you have to know about him in order to understand the party, the events that happened with Bar Kamtza, who shouldn't have been at the wedding, and the Balabayas, who's making the wedding. Why do we say, ask the Maral, the Marsha, other Achronim ask, why do we say, because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Charav Yerushalayim? That's not true. Because of Bar Kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Because what this terrible host, we don't know his name, what this terrible host did to Bar Kamtza, that's why Yerushalayim was destroyed. Kamtza didn't even get invited. He didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't even there. Why do we say because of him, Yerushalayim was destroyed? Maral says something absolutely incredible that really, really, really strikes home. He says, when people want to fight, no one likes to fight me against you. You know why? Because I'm going to look bad. So you know what I do? I get somebody to join my team. I get someone to join my team. I think in English they call it a clique. Me and the chevra. Once it's me and my buddy, then, you know, it's not just you against me, it's us against you. It's you guys. We don't like you guys. It's not just me. I don't like you. If it was just me against you guys, then I'd be the weirdo. But it's not just me. I have a chevra. I have a bunch of guys. It's us. It's the boys. We don't like you all together. I'm normal because I have friends who are like me, like-minded. If it was just me, I'd be the weirdo. But I'm not a weirdo because I have friends who are like-minded thinkers. Says the Maharal, that host who was this Baal Machlokas against Bar Kamtza, he befriended Kamtza. Part of that friendship was a clique. It was a clique. And therefore, a friendship, which you'd think is a positive thing, a closeness, a chavishaft, which you think is a good thing, sometimes if the chavishaft is generated, is created, only so that it could be to create a clique, to exclude other people and to push other people away and to cause sorrow to other people, that makes even the partners in the clique, even if they're not part of the general machlokas itself, but the fact they're joining this clique, this unique club of people, one of them who has a fight and he, you know, but he feels secure because he has his friends, his buddies who are on his side, that itself, being one of the buddies is itself part of the machlokas. That's what says the Maharal. That's why the Yerushalayim was destroyed, not just because of Bar Kamtza, what happened with Bar Kamtza at the wedding, but also because of that clique that had been created previously with Kamtza, with the one that never even was invited to the wedding, the good friend. Because that good friend was allowed himself to become part of the clique with this Baal Machlokas. To finish off, the Maharal says in a different parak, in Parak Dalet, tries to explain why is it that there was this difference between the first base of Mitzvah and the second base of Mitzvah, the first base of Mitzvah that was destroyed because of the Gimel Yeharek Val Yavar, Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, as opposed to the second base of Mitzvah, which was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. You see, the Maharal says, and I spoke about this once before, I think on Shavuot Sabbatam was a few years ago, that the first Beis HaMikdash had a lot of stuff there that the second Beis HaMikdash didn't. The first Beis HaMikdash was exceedingly special, much more special. It had the Urim V'Tumim, it had the Aron, it had a greater level of Hashras HaShchina, Ruach HaKodesh, it had the Shechina, the Shamir, five things that the first Beis HaMikdash had that the second Beis HaMikdash lacked. So the meaning, the punch of the first Beis HaMikdash was in the Hashras HaShchina that was there. So if the significance of the first Beis HaMikdash was in the Hashras HaShchina and that which is Arum and Arum around the Hashras HaShchina, so what would cause the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash? That which causes the Shechina to leave. That was the first Beis HaMikdash. However, says the Maharal, what was the second Beis HaMikdash? We didn't have that Shechina that was present in the first Beis HaMikdash. What did we have? We had a centralized place for everyone to get together. We had a place where there was one representative that could represent all of Klal Yisrael with one coming gadol. There was a place that we were all that you know, like you have a bike wheel with spokes, all coming from one axle in the middle. So we had this one axle in the middle. That Beis HaMikdash was our focal point. With all the spikes coming out, we had one Beis HaMikdash, we had one Kohen Gadol to represent us, we had one Mizbeach, no Bamos. That's all we had in the second Beis HaMikdash. We didn't have Shechina, but we had a centralization. We had a togetherness. That's all we had in the second Beis HaMikdash. That's all the second Beis HaMikdash was. We didn't have Shechina compared to the first. And therefore, says the Maharal, of course, so how, if all the second Beis HaMikdash was that togetherness, so what caused that second Beis HaMikdash's destruction? When we didn't have the togetherness, when we had the purity, when we had the division, when we had divisiveness, when we had the sin of Shechina. We should be zocha be'ez Hashem to focus on rebuilding. We're not nothing that we could do right now to bring back the Shamir and to bring back the Urim V'Tumim, to bring back the Aron and to bring out the Ruach HaKodesh and to bring out the Shechina, to bring out the five things that the first Beis HaMikdash lacked. But perhaps if we are able to focus on bringing back the Ahava Shechinam, we'll be able to get back to Beis HaMikdash and all the other things will come along. We zocha very much, very speedily, to a binyan, ade ad, from here of Yamenu, amen.